I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of... You're listening to an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. Hello, welcome to Susie Larson Live. So glad to have you listening today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is a special edition where I'm highlighting some of my favorite guests from this year so far. This week, during our live show, we're in the midst of our spring fundraiser. If you'd like to join us and support Faith Radio financially, you can give now at myfaithradio.com or call toll-free at 877-933-2484. Your financial support makes shows like mine possible. Thanks so much. Here's my conversation with Daryl Strawberry. Well, in the Gospel of Luke, we read about Zechariah and Elizabeth and how an angel of the Lord showed up to let them know that God had heard their prayer and they would indeed have a son. And there's a line in that story that jumps out at me every time, and it says this: people used to say that Elizabeth was barren. God is one who turns our stories around, you know? So here's a question for you. And you know what? I love it when you text and engage with me. I can't even tell you how much I love to hear your thoughtful texts and read your words and hear about your story. So here's my question, and I actually want an answer. How has God turned your story around? What did people used to say about you? You can text 877-933-2484. How has God turned your story around? What did people used to say, people who knew you back when? And it's no longer true now. I mean, that is what he does, isn't it? It's who he is. Well, people used to talk about today's guest this way. He's an addict. He's trouble. He's on the road to destruction. But now people say he's changing the world with the gospel of Christ and with the word of his testimony. Daryl Strawberry joins me today to talk about his book, Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. We've got 5 copies of Daryl Strawberry's book to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing in a separate text, 877-933-2484. We'll get Daryl on in just a second here, but I want to let you know. Hey, if you've not checked out our app, it is amazing. Check it out at Google Play or Apple App Store. Search Faith Radio Network. That way, if you're traveling, you can take us with you. You can access our program, even our podcasts and blog posts at any time, 24/7. Check it out, Faith Radio Network on Apple App Store or Google Play. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Daryl Strawberry is, you probably recognize that name, he's a former Major League Baseball player, 4-time World Series winner, 8-time All-Star and National Baseball Hall of Fame, 8-time All-Star and National Baseball Hall of Fame nominee. Today, Daryl serves the Lord Jesus Christ by spreading a message of hope and restoration through the power of the gospel. Daryl, so good to meet you. And I got to tell you, after chatting with you a little bit before the show, you have a voice for radio. So I'm super glad you're with us today.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yep, looking forward to the conversation. And we start every day talking scripture. And I know, I mean, you had your Bible right there when I mentioned that to you before the show. But what's the Lord been speaking to you about these days?
I think he's been speaking to me about the fact that so many people don't know who Jesus is. And I think John 14:6 explains it. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And he's trying to tell people that he's the gateway to get you to the Father. And everybody tries to jump over Jesus, and they don't realize that Jesus is King. He's the Messiah. He hung on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, and went to the tomb for you. And he got up early Sunday morning. And when he got up with all power in his hand.
Come on.
So that means you have to die and be just like Jesus did. He died, but he was resurrected. So, you know, Galatians 2:20 talks about it. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. It is Christ who lives in me. It is Christ himself that rules and reigns when you die. But you have to know that Jesus is the way.
Amen. Somebody give me an amen. Yeah. I've been thinking a lot lately, Daryl, about just the idea of Christ in me. Because you think about, scripture says, no flesh should glory in his presence. And then Paul said, I put no confidence in the flesh. And yet that has infiltrated Christianity in some ways, you know, where it's, you know, Jesus and then, you know, some of our flesh. You know what I'm saying? Where I think the more we can walk in the greatest power when we understand the power is not of us, but of Christ in us.
Well, you have to be able to understand the power is in Christ because he's paid the price already for you to be able to walk in the power of the resurrection of him. You know, but the most important thing is you have to get out of the flesh. The flesh got to die. And I think that's what kills so many people, why they're not having victory. Christians not having victory because they're still dwelling in the flesh. They're still dwelling on what social media says. They're still dwelling on what the news says, and they're not dwelling in what the Bible says. And that's where your revelation is going to come from for you, is in the Bible. It's the blueprint of who you are. Once you start reading the Word of God, saturate yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to ascend up on you, like Jesus said, and he's going to teach you all things in remembrance of me. So you got to utilize everything that is here for you, and it's in the Word of God. And I think people are searching in all the wrong places looking for their victory to come.
I think somebody's going to get saved today, and I think a whole bunch of people are going to recommit their lives to the Lord today. I really do. At the open of the show, I said, what did people used to say about you, and what's true now? And Kathy said, I used to say of myself that I was useless and unloved. No more. I am so loved. I'm telling you what, that makes me want to jump up and shout. And this dear girl says, Susie, I was pregnant at 17, gave birth to a beautiful daughter exactly 22 years ago today. For many years, I was known as a young single mom. I could cry. But now my story is about redemption and love, and I'm able to use my story to help other young moms see hope in Christ alone. Wow, Daryl, that is the picture, isn't it, of the redemptive power of Jesus? Wow.
That is the picture of who Jesus is. And hey, you got to remember, you know, back then, you know, when God was using everyone, they all had issues. Moses, speech impediment. Peter, you know, denied Christ three times. You know, David, a man after my own heart, he was a womanizer, put his best man Uriah on the front line. But God still used the broken pieces of who you are, and he puts them back together for his glory. You know, because at the end, they're going to give God the glory because it's all God doing through them. We know we can't do it by ourselves. And, you know, it's the same for my life, you know, where I stand today. You know, all these broken pieces that I had, you know, God has taken those broken pieces and put them back together for his masterpiece. And that's what he does. You know, he's not like us. He, you know, he's God is super natural. You know, we walk in the natural of who we are as people, but he's supernatural. And when he touches a life, he does something far incredible that you could never imagine and you would never understand. And, you know, I just kind of enjoy the fact that my life is greater than it was when I was playing baseball. When I was a baseball player and doing all those things, I was just a baseball player. But I became a man when I met Jesus. And that's when the revelation came over my life.
It's going to take all my restraint not to just keep interjecting. I'm sorry. I'm having church.
No, you're okay.
This is so awesome. Well, let's go back to your childhood, if it's okay with you. Give us some context for why you found yourself in the ditch of despair years later. Give us some backstory, if you would.
Well, because it's the reality of, you know, what happens to most of us. You know, we come from broken broken situations and broken generation after generation. Lawlessness brings about broken generations of kids and stuff like that. And I was no different than the multitude of people that live in our society. They got some kind of dysfunction, some kind of brokenness inside of them that only Jesus can heal. And, you know, we try to heal it in all the things that we achieve and conquer in life. You know, me in sports and, you know, being famous and privileged and rich and living behind community gates. And my kids never attended a public school, been to private schools. So you think people like that should have it all together. And on the real reality of it, we really don't. We just accumulate a bunch of stuff. But on the inside, there's an empty void on the inside of all of us that no one can fill but Jesus himself. You know, that empty hole. Well, just like King Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, you know, no one can fill this empty void on the inside of us but God himself. And King Solomon was the richest, wisest man in Jerusalem. And here it is. He's telling us that it's meaningless under the sun without God. Here it is. He goes and writes the book of Proverbs of wisdom and knowledge. And then he deals with Ecclesiastes. It's just like our life, you know, growing up in dysfunctional home. Dad's a raging alcoholic, beat the crap out of him. He said, I'll never amount to nothing. I go on to achieve all these great things and become a great baseball player and never have my father in my life. And then one day God sends me back to my father, you know, after he saves me and restores me and bring me to wholeness to lead my father to the Lord. So God's got an incredible plan, incredible ways of doing things. I think a lot of times we just have to sit back and get ourselves in a place where we know who God is and we've been discipled and we know the Bible, because the Bible makes it clear my people perish because of lack of knowledge. There's no knowledge and understanding of the word. That's why so many of us perish and can't have the victory. The victory is waiting for you after you go through the process.
Wow. Amen. Got a couple minutes before we take a break here, but I, you know, I'm just going to take little parts of your story. That's just interesting. So as a young guy, you know, your dad abandoned your family and you've got a deep, deep father wound and so hurt by that. And then you were saying back then when kids were playing baseball, they played for years. You didn't even start playing baseball till like age 13. So your fellow players had already been playing for at least 5-6 years. Talk about just that when you just stepped into the sport. What happened?
Well, I got a late start, you know, because I was, you know, like I said, broken and left for dead. So I got a late start of playing baseball. And then it became an outlet for me where I didn't have to think about my relationship with my father and the dysfunction that he left us in and everything. And so I had all these different coaches come into my life that were like mentors to me, that were leading me down the road and helping me bring discipline. And I needed a whole lot of help, you know, to be able to come disciplined, because I remember my first year in high school and I was running off the field and I started walking and the high school coach thumped me on the head and said, "Don't ever walk off this field again." I took the uniform off and threw it in his face and quit, you know, my 10th grade year. So I had a lot to learn about myself and why I was so angry, I guess, because of how I felt on the inside, the control that my father had over me that dominated me. I just didn't want that anywhere else. So, you know, I had to learn to walk into life and find, you know, this kind of discipline of being disciplined, being able to accept things and being able to try to make the best out of who I was as a young player.
Man, and you were, you know, leaps and bounds beyond people who'd been playing for years, just stepping into it, because you really did have a God-given ability. We're going to pause here, but I think it's so interesting. You think about angry young kids, teens, who are, you know, rebellious and they reject authority. Underneath that so often is a deep wound because maybe a father misused his authority. And so it triggers them and it connects with them. And so they need healing. Boy, we need to be praying for our young people. Talking to Daryl Strawberry, wow, Major League ball player, Hall of Fame nominee, 4-time World Series winner. But what his claim to fame is that he belongs to Jesus. His book is titled Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. And just as you hear the word pouring out of him, it's in the book too. We've got 5 copies. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. And in a separate text, tell me this. What did people used to say about you and what's true now? How has God turned your story around? Text me, 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. This is an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, having a fantastic conversation with Daryl Strawberry. You probably know his name. He's a former Major League Baseball player, 4-time World Series winner, and so many other things. But really, he would say his claim to fame is that Christ is in him, his hope of glory. His book is titled Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. Got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to this number, 877-933-2484. And I also ask you to send in a separate text. How did God turn your story around? What did people used to say about you? And now they say, because of what Christ has done. And this dear listener says, "Hey, I'm out doing errands, so I can't stay by the radio, but I love this man. I heard another interview a few weeks back, and afterwards felt like I truly sat with someone who knows and lives out of the love of Jesus, that Jesus has for him, and is generously passing it on. So beautiful. Thanks for having an awesome, life-changing guest." And then Jim from Connecticut, love this. "Susie!" He spelled it like that long, cheering way. "So great that you have Daryl on the show. I've heard him interviewed numerous times in the past few weeks. Every time I hear him, I feel he really needs to go on to seminary. He can preach it. He's the real deal. Has he ever considered that?" Jim wants to know. What do you say?
No, I really haven't ever considered that. I just considered to stay in my lane, who God has called me to be. I think that's the unique thing about being called by God. He calls you right where you're at, and he wants to utilize your ability so people can see that you're unique. You've been created through him. I don't want to be in a place where a man can take credit for, you know, what God has done inside of me. I give God all the glory for saving an old sinner like me, you know, who needed grace just like all of us. But he meets you right where you're at. He doesn't deny you. And that's what people need to know. People deny you, but Christ does not deny you.
Amen. If it's okay, you know, answer as much as you'd like, but how did the wealth and the fame impact you? Like at the peak when you had money, you had access to everything. Like, talk about that internal process, the kind of the thing, the rehearsed thoughts going through your head, the heart beliefs that you had.
Well, it starts off to be fun. Then it becomes a dark place, you know, because it becomes empty at the end of the day when you sit around and look and you accumulate all these earthly things and you think they're going to make you well and they really don't make you well. You feel, well, I got money, I got homes, I got this, I got cars, you know, you buy another car just to feel good about yourself. And, you know, it was all just a facade for me to be able to believe that I was well, and I was never well on the inside. And like I said, everybody looks great on the outside, but what do you look like on the inside? And at the end of the day, those empty pieces are really, really empty. They're dark and they're hungry for something. You don't know what it is. And until you actually taste and see that the Lord is good, and you'd be like, oh my God, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. And, you know, I finally found that after all the broken pieces in my life. And I was searching, you know, for more of this, drugs and more women and more money and more fame and more of this. And at the end of the day, the devil forgot to tell me he was going to kill me. And Jesus talks about that in John 10:10. He said, the thief does not come except to steal, kill and destroy. He says, I have come that you may have life and may have it more abundantly. And the abundant life is not stuff, it's peace, joy, wisdom, knowledge, power.
Come
it's far
on.
Greater than it's far Sorry. Greater than anything. Susie. That's okay, Susie. It's far greater than anything that we can ever imagine when you get a hold of it.
Man. Oh my goodness, I want to jump up and shout. There's just so much you're saying that makes me want to jump up and shout. I love this. The devil forgot to tell me that he wants to kill me. You know, sin has its pleasure for a season, and people don't realize they're being baited right into the ditch of death. It's like it's lighter shades of the thing that's going to kill you. And we keep changing the rules and making compromises to our own destruction. And Daryl, it's happening in the body of Christ too. I mean, there, you know, as I've been on my face, just interceding for our nation and for the church, capital C church. You know, I remember hearing about a Barna report, I think 5 years ago, where they said, at least on paper, there's virtually no difference between Christians and non-Christians in the West, as far as addictions, defaults, attitudes, behaviors, mindsets, entitlements, that we looked pretty much the same on paper. Now, I'm looking at this shakeup that's happened in our society, and it really is a wake-up. And I really do see Christians seeking God in a more renewed way on his terms. I'd love to just get your take on the sense of what God is doing in his people today.
Well, I think what has happened to the people is, you know, they have denied the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, and I think that's what's so important, so critical for us to be able to utilize to be able to fight the enemy. I think we try to fight him on our own natural power, and you can't fight him that way. You can't win with that way. You have to, you know, have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, and you have to speak about the Spirit of God that dwells in you. And we got to talk about the hard things, Susie. I think the thing is, we don't want to talk about sin. We don't want to talk about people need to repent. We don't want to talk about you can't live together and shack up. You think the enemy is not going to have a field day with you? He knows you're not right with God. He's not stupid. You know, he's looking at us and saying, those people down there are stupid. God's given them this grace, and they don't even understand it, that they don't even deserve it. And he's given it to them that more and more, and they just keep going further and further the opposite way. And we want to preach a feel-good message. Make me feel good. Stop making people feel good. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, people are going to get convicted. Yes, that's what the gospel is. It convicted me when I was down in the pit of life, down in sin, living wickedness and away from God. It convicted me to look up. And when I looked up, guess what? I found the symbol of the cross, and I found the blood that was on that cross was shed for me by a holy man who's never entered into sin. So he's righteous. So guess what he does? He comes and rescues you. He redeems you, and he restores you to wholeness. He is the only one that can restore you to wholeness. You can't restore yourself. Guys are standing in the pulpit, and they want to preach on sounding good with no power, and the devil's sitting over there laughing, doing push-ups, saying, I'm waiting for you because I know you're going to fall because you're not preaching the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want people to like you because you sound good with big words.
That's a form of religion, but denies its power because the power is in the gospel. It's in the cross. It's in the resurrection. And he'll never deliver us from a sin that we refuse to acknowledge, you know, if we keep skirting around this conversation. And I don't remember where it is in the Old Testament, but it says something like the heavens gasp. And in my paraphrase, is because they can't believe we would drink from broken cisterns that do not satisfy when God's living water, as you say, is available to us right here and now. And I can't even tell you how much I love your acronym for sin. Self-indulgence now. Unpack that one a bit more, if you would.
Self-indulgence now. You know, self It's our own self-centeredness that allows us to keep us sick and keep us separated from God because we continue to do the same things over and over again, and we bring it on about ourselves, and we don't think there's consequences. My wife used to tell me, you can pick your sins, but you can't pick your consequences. You can pick your sins all day long, you know, but the consequences behind them and the reality of them are real, and we indulge in those. And like I said before, you know, I don't sit here and say that I'm perfect. There's only one perfect one, Jesus. I'm a sinner. I just don't practice the sinful life like I used to anymore. We fall short in areas, but we don't live according to the worldly standards anymore. I live according to the biblical principles, and I walk according not to my flesh, but through my spirit. And my spirit man leads me and guides me. And that's if you only paying attention to your spirit man, or do you want what you see? Because what everybody else has, it looks good, you know, and it. Everything out there looks good when you see it from the perspective of, you know, celebrity lives and fame and fortune, and I want what they have. And instead of tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, we want all these earthly things that's going to pass away. But the word of God is never going to pass away. God's going to always take his word and empower it, and somebody that will take it and use it to glorify him. See, a man like me that had everything knew I had nothing until I met Jesus. Now I have everything that I really need. I have the power of Christ dwelling among me that allows me to preach the gospel, not even being qualified, because God qualifies to call, not man. And see, when we rely on man to lead us and guide us, and we try to brand ourselves and want to be like somebody else instead of branding Jesus and being like Jesus, we want to try to be like somebody else, be a copycat of somebody else because we want what they have. Why don't you want what Jesus has? He has life, and he has it more abundantly.
Somebody's got to text me an amen. In fact, I expect to see quite a few amens because we are literally having church today. Praise God. You know, this is a time, I feel, of soul searching where we are right now, that God, you know, that we would dare each of us to pray, Lord, show me my heart. Show me my heart. Show me my blind spots, what I cannot see. Search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in your everlasting way. And Daryl, you write this, sin always takes us further than we need to go, keeps us longer than we want to stay, and costs us more than we can afford to pay. And we're heading up on a hard break here, but you know, I think it's Acts 3:19. It says, repent so that times of refreshment may come. And if you're listening today and you've never trusted Jesus, today is the day. Don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. But I also ask, if you've wandered from Christ, if you've been doing what Daryl has said and compromised with one foot in and one foot out, stuff you know you shouldn't be doing, that's why you're miserable. Repent so that times of refreshing may come. You will find a faithful God, a merciful God, a compassionate God. But he doesn't look lightly at sin. He doesn't look the other way. He doesn't lower his standard. He is who he is. And so we're going to do what he tells us to do because he loves us. Talking to Daryl Strawberry today, his book, Turn Your Season Around. Got a whole bunch of amens coming in, Daryl. Just want you to know, these people do not disappoint. When we come back, we'll talk more about walking wholehearted obedience and devotion to Christ and trusting him to be who he says he is. We've got 5 copies of Daryl's book, Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. Daryl Strawberry, text the word book to 877-933-2484 and text me your story. What did people used to say about you? What do they say now? I'd love to know. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to an encore presentation of Susie Larson Law. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. It's a good day to tune in because we, friends, are having church today, talking to Daryl Strawberry. I'm telling you, it's taken all my restraint not to keep interjecting amens. I got to let the man talk. His book is Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. And I got all kinds of amens that have come in. Janet texted in, amen, preach it. Love listening to Daryl. Please give him my phone number so he can call me every day with such godly inspiration. I love that. I love that. And this dear listener says, I was insecure, always looking for approval until I owned the fact. I love that. Owned the fact that God doesn't need anything from me. My worth comes from his love alone. Amen, Karen. That's awesome. So, Daryl, how did you come to Christ? Tell me that story.
Well, I came to Christ in 1991 after I was a free agent and signed a big contract, $20 million, but I was miserable. My first marriage was falling apart. I was an alcoholic, womanizer, and drug addict, sinner. And I went to a crusade in Los Angeles, and I was there for 4 days, and more surreal crusade. And I heard the gospel preached every night, and all I was doing was weeping when I was up there. And I came down Sunday, and I got hands laid on me, and the power of God came over me. And the guy said, "I don't know who you are," he said, "but God has called you." He said, "All hell is about to break loose in your life." And I said, "Oh, my God." I thought to myself, he sounds just like my mother, because she told me the same thing. All hell's going to break loose in your life. But he said, God's going to get it out of you. Little did I know that my mother was praying for me while she was dying. And my sister found a journal under her bed after she passed that she had prayed that God would knock me off my throne and save me and bring about salvation. So I get saved there. That was the beginning. But I didn't get discipled. I missed the discipleship. So if you missed the discipleship, you don't get to go to the next level. You have to retake the test again until you get discipled and know who God is. So I went through hell for the next 15 years of my life, you know, after getting radically saved and the power of God came over me. And then it would eventually come back to me that God would find me in a pit and bring me to the pulpit to qualify me after my wife, Tracy, would lead me back to him after all the years of me and her together. She was saved and she was in recovery. She had 21. She's got 21 years and she never went back. And I went back and I was using dope and smoking crack. And she was banging on doors, pulling me out of dope houses in South Florida 18 years ago and saying that God has a plan for you. I says, "Why don't you and that God just leave me here and let me die?" She said, "You're just not that lucky." So I knew it was God's plan that God had led her to bring me and lead me back to the cross. And he set me for 7 years and made me get discipled. And then he had a greater plan and a greater purpose for my life. So if anybody's out there listening, the miracle doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. I want them to understand that. I didn't get like this overnight. God had to isolate me from everybody and everything and set me for those 7 years. And then he would call me to preach the gospel 13 years ago and allow me to be evangelist to travel 250 times out of the year, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
I remember hearing a story of somebody who is a pretty high profile person in a decadent world, really standing for things that were just anti-biblical, had a radical salvation experience, but because they had such a big platform, the assumption was that they would step into a big platform in the Christian world. But the pastor discipling this person said, "Absolutely not. You be quiet as far as you step back and you be discipled. You humble yourself. You do more listening than you do speaking." And I thought that was a protection because I've seen people propelled from one to the next and they don't have the humility. They don't have the maturity. They don't have what they need really to be stewarding a large platform just because they had it in their old life, you know?
Right. Well, they don't really understand. You don't really understand that the enemy will kill you. That's why God sat me and made me be discipled and be quiet, you know, for those 7 years. And 7 years in the wilderness was great, just like the Israelites. They were 40 years in the wilderness, and they still couldn't see and realize that Moses was a great leader. And some of us can't see, you know, when we stand on the platform, and we think it's about just getting up there and speaking. And God knows if you're not equipped, he knows that the enemy's going to come and deceive you, and he's going to bring you to a place where he's there to destroy you. He's going to bring you down. And God will not be mocked in the middle of all that, you know, of your shortcoming. That's why God wants you to be ready. He wants you to be able to have a foundation. He wants you to build your house on the foundation of the rock, because if you build it on the sand, when the storm comes, it's going to just blow you right away, you know, and that's what the enemy plan is for you. So you have to be equipped by God to be able to get to the next place, because you won't be able to fight the enemy by yourself. You're going to have to be able to fight him with the word. If you don't know scriptures, then you cannot beat the enemy, because the enemy knows the scriptures. He knows the Bible just as well as you do, and probably better than us. And he knows when you don't understand it, he knows he's got you.
That's so true. This dear listener said, "Still after 35 years of sobriety, I absolutely love hearing his faith-powered recovery. Bless him and his wife." And this dear listener says, "Man, living, Susie, today's interview with Daryl is just plain powerful. Daryl's life story is proof of the incredible power of the saving grace of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you to both of you." Cheryl says, "Wow, holy goosebumps." Sherry says, "I have chills. Can't wait to get this book." You know, this is the thing. People are responding that way because what they're responding to is the power of the gospel and the power of Christ in you. And I can't agree with you more, Daryl, about the watering down of the gospel, of making it palatable to people so there's no conviction. And when there's no conviction, there's no power. Speak to that if you would.
Yeah, where there's no conviction, there's no getting well, because you're going to continue to dabble around with worldly things. You know, it wasn't until I had the conviction of Christ in my life, and then that's when I knew that I no longer had to dabble around with worldly things. I think too many of us get consumed with worldly things, and we get comfortable in them, and we don't want to do the hard work. We don't want to make the commitment to Christ, because when you make the commitment to Christ, you got to come from out of the world. You got to come from all these worldly things and talking and the way they do and acting the way they do and listening to the things that they listen to. And you're going to have to be able to saturate yourself and sit yourself to the side and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you the Bible, teach you scriptures, and you're going to learn to talk a different way. You're going to learn to act a different way. And is it a lonely place? Yes, but it is the greatest place that you will ever go when you enter in with God. Yes, are you going to lose people? I lost a lot of folks. It don't matter. They wasn't friends anyway. They were just there because of the success and the trophies and the money and the stuff that I had. But when I was down at the bottom, $3 million in debt, nobody was there but my wife, Tracy. She was there to be used by God to encourage me that God loves me regardless of how far I've fallen down into the pit. And I think that's what people don't understand. You got to get somebody that's going to speak truth to you, not just going to, you know, sugarcoat it to you and say, well, it's going to be all right. No, it's not going to be all right. You're going to have to work through some things to be able to get on this side for God to be able to use you for his glory.
Man, amen. You know, I can't, in heaven, I'm sitting down with that wife of yours because she's a superhero. You know, she really is. She's a superhero. To have the kind of guts and grit to stick in there with you and then march into these drug houses and say, this is not who you are. I mean, that is a rare kind of love and courage. And one of my listeners just texted and wants a reminder of who I'm talking to. Daryl Strawberry, his book, Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. And he writes like he speaks. Daryl is a former Major League Baseball player. You know, I love this line from your book. God is no one's vice president. He will not reside where he does not preside. Hello. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Say more.
Yeah, of course. That is amazing. You know, he's not the VP. He's the president of your life. If you allow him to be the president over your life, then you will taste and see that the Lord is good. Now you are able to do things far greater than you can ever imagine, because he's more than you can ever imagine. He's the King of Kings over you. He's the Lord of Lords over you. And when you understand that he was wounded for your transgression and he was bruised for your iniquity, by his stripes, you get to be healed. And that's when the healing part of you is healed by God. You don't need anything else. You don't need anybody to tell you how good you are. God's going to show you how good you are. God has showed me how good that I am through the work that I put in. I had to put the work in to get the revelation of Christ in my life. And I think that's the problem with so many of us. We won't pick up the book. We'll pick up a phone or we'll pick up an iPad. Pick up the book and highlight your book so you can go back and you can read it again, because every time you go back and read something that you highlighted, God's going to give you a new revelation out of it. He's new every day. He's not the same. We're the same, but he's not the same. He's different. He's holy. He's righteous. And he's everything that you've been looking for. And I just encourage people, man, dive into him, man, because your life, he's going to reveal to you through the book. He's not going to reveal it to you just by being what position we have, because Daryl Strawberry was a Major League Baseball player and he won 4 World Series and he had all these other great things that came along with it. He's not concerned about the baseball player. He was concerned was all going to be well in Daryl Strawberry's life and his soul. At the end of the day, you think about it, when Satan came about Job, he said, you could do whatever you want to him, but one thing you cannot touch his soul. His soul belongs to me. And see, when your soul belongs to God, the enemy can do whatever he wants. He can wreck you, do whatever he wants. But at the end of the day, he cannot have your soul. And that's what you really want to know about yourself. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And he will not let the enemy touch your soul. He can touch every earthly thing he wants and try to shame you. But at the end of the day, God's going to get the victory, because in the end of the day, when Job lost everything, God ended up giving him a double portion after his wife said, why don't you just curse that God and die? And he must have looked at her and thought, woman, you must be crazy if I'm going to curse this God, because this God has been good to me. And he gives him a double portion of blessing over his life because he stayed faithful to God.
Amen. As you're talking, I was thinking about, you know, this. I want to hear friends to hear this line from Daryl's book again. God is no one's vice president. He will not reside where he does not preside. And, you know, we hear all the time, God is for you. Who can stand against you? That is scripture. Absolutely. But there's a story where Joshua, you know, God had just said, be strong, be courageous. I'm with you wherever you go. And then further down the road, you know, there's an angel blocking the road. And he's like, are you a friend or a foe? And he says, neither. I serve the Lord Most High. This is my paraphrase. So if God said, I'm for you, be strong, be courageous, why did this angel not say, I'm also for you? He said, neither. I'm on the Lord's side. And as you sit with that story, you realize it's one thing that God is for us, but we presume upon him sometimes. The reason that angel was there is because though Joshua had a pure heart, some of the people had idols in their tents, which would have ensured a defeat in the next battle that they were going to fight. So the question is, I know God is for me, but am I on the Lord's side? Am I aligning with the Lord? And that's a long way to set up. But as we're talking about repentance and we're talking about conviction, and that God is not one to be trifled with, we walk, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Speak to the whole idea. Because Israelites were God's chosen people, and they had idols in their tent. We do the same thing at times if we're not walking intimately and in the fear of God. So just speak to that dynamic. The God is for us, but are we on his side? We got to make sure we are.
Right. Well, you make a good point there, because we have to align ourselves up, you know, and we have to examine ourselves, and we have to clean our heart out, you know, and I think that's the most important thing, because God's looking at the heart of a man, you know, and not the head. You know, we always think with that, and, you know, that's going to make bad decisions. But he's looking at the heart and seeing, is your heart clean? If you can clean your heart out and really understand that you're walking with God day to day, you know, each day. And what does that look like for you each day? Each day I get up, you know, my wife is so committed, you know, and that's what I saw. I saw the commitment of her with God. She gets up every day. We've been together for 21 years, but been married over almost 14 years. But every day she's gotten up with God. She got up out of that bed. She got up with God at 5:30 to be faithful, and she still do that to this day, and nothing's changed, you know. And I was like, man, I want what she has. And God said, well, you're gonna have to spend time like she does with me. So guess what? Mm-hmm. I started spending that quality time at night. My time was at night. When she was asleep, I was in there saturating myself in the word with God. I was spending time with God, meditating on the word, learning scriptures, talking to the Holy Spirit, telling the Holy Spirit to teach me scriptures and retain them for me. He doesn't retain them in my head. He retains them in my belly. I could pull scriptures out of my belly because I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that's when you start learning who you are, when you start separating yourself and turning off that cell phone and that television, and you start allowing God to pour into you his truth into you, his wisdom, his knowledge, and all these things that he has for you. But you have to be disciplined. If you have no discipline to do it, then you can never get that. I mean, I always tell people, stop eating Burger King hamburgers when you can eat steaks with the word of God. Hmm. You know, feed yourself the word of God. Stop feeding yourself all these earthly things, all these earthly idols, and all these earthly opinions, and listen to the power of the Holy Spirit. He's incredible. He's part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're three. They're one. And he's God. He's God too. And he's going to teach you all things in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Come on. Amen. You know, we're going to pause here, but you know, I don't know who said it first, but someone said you can have as much of God as you want. And I would say before 2020, I was an earnest pursuer of God. I mean, I've been passionate about the Lord for a very long time, but crossing into 2020 before we even knew what was going to happen, the Lord gave me the word purity, that the pure in heart see God. And he said, I want you to press in for a deeper measure of purity. Pray the Psalm 139 prayer that I would search your heart. It was so painful because you have these layers of self-life that you don't even know are there until they surface. But as I owned them and brought them before God, I started to see him with more clarity and hear him with more clarity. And there's just no substitute for the presence of God and the power of God. And I've not let up. There's been even a more focused pursuit just because, like you say, there's nothing that compares. And I say all that to say, friend, listening today, if there are idols in your tent, if you find yourself perpetually distracted by your phone, by the TV, by stuff that's going to pass away, narrow your gaze, fix your gaze, run hard after God, draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. I'm talking to Daryl Strawberry today. His book, Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. Wow, I love it. What did people used to say about you, friend? What's your story? What did people used to say? Because of God, what do you say now? You can text me, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. This is an encore presentation of Suzy Larson Live. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We are having literal church today, talking to Daryl Strawberry. Unbelievable conversation. If you just tuned in, this is one. Once the live show is over, you got to go back and catch the podcast. And before the break, Daryl, we're talking about, you know, idols in our tent and having a reverence before God, and that you can have as much of God as you want. And sometimes as God does that refining, purifying work in us, which is so beautiful but painful, we have to let go of old things to lay hold of new things. We have to let go of good things to lay hold of better things. And in the book, you talk about two significant crossroads in your life. One was when you were on Celebrity Apprentice, and another time was when you owned a pretty thriving restaurant business. Take us to those two stories and how God led you to let go of something that was seemingly good to lay hold of the better.
Yeah, that's a good question, you know, because I was on the show, and, you know, there's a lot of things going on behind the scene that nobody get a chance to see. But they get to see the things that we were doing, the tasks that we were doing and everything else. And we lost as the guys, and Michael Johnson was the project manager. And Donald Trump kept asking, who should I fire? And no, none of the guys were saying anything. So I just said, fire me, you know, because I was looking for a way out because of behind the scenes. And, you know, my wife didn't want me going on the show from the beginning because she thought it would be a little bit too crazy for me, you know, because I'm supposed to be walking a different way. And she was right. And I went on it because of other friends, you know, that worked for them. They convinced me to go on it. And it was good to help the charity and everything. But at the same time, behind the scenes, they were drinking the language. And I just wasn't that person anymore. And so we lost the task. And he was like, Michael, who should I fire? Nobody was sitting there. So I said, fire me. He goes, Daryl, why you want to get fired? He goes, New York love you. You're doing great. So he went back around the table again and said, who should I let go? And I says, well, just let me. He says, why you keep saying letting you go? You want to be fired? And I said, yes. And he goes, okay, you're fired. Nobody else would take the, you know, take charge of it. So I took charge of it. And I just had to wiggle my way out of there. And then I had a restaurant business in Queens that was about very successful, Strawberry Grill. My wife didn't want me doing that. She says, you need to be doing what God's called you to do. I just didn't want to listen. God kept knocking me over my head. She was just like my mother, knock him off his throne. Mm-hmm. You know, there you go again. And you know, I was in the midst of having another restaurant put in Manhattan, and we were about to expand after the restaurant in Queens was doing so well. And it was called Strawberry Grill, and the Lord told me to close the restaurant, and I wouldn't. He made it miserable for me for 6 months. And then I looked out the window of my apartment on the West Side Highway. He says, you ready to close it down? I just lost it. I just cried. I said, yes. He says, you have no idea what I'm calling you and Tracy to do. I'm calling you to full-time ministry, and I'm going to you're going to be preaching. I said, I don't want to preach. He says, you're going to preach. I says, I'm not qualified. He says, no one is qualified. I qualify to call. You're going to be preaching in arenas and every all kind of different places. And I just went from there and called Tracy and said, I got to close the restaurant. The Lord said, close it. And I closed it. And little did I know after that, you know, the ministry came, and we've been doing God's great work of just helping so many people. And at the end of the day, it's about salvation. It's about, you know, bringing people to Christ, to have victory over the enemy.
Well, those stories are super important, Daryl, because I'm thinking somebody might be in the valley of decision today. In fact, you know, I bring this up a lot. Friends, forgive me, but it just is what gets me out of bed every day. But that day of account is coming where we give an account as believers what we did with our time, treasure, and talents. And I fear that too many Christians are holding on to the old because it's comfortable. It's what they know. And they're not laying hold of the new, or they're holding on to the good because they can't see what the best is. But they have that niggling sense where God is saying, will you trust me in this? But it's too scary. But he's so good. So maybe speak to that person listening today who's settled, but they're not satisfied. What do you say?
Yeah. So many have settled, you know, and not satisfied. And they can never get to the new, like 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have come new. I can't get to the new if I'm still holding on to the old. God's got something new for you every day. And I think that's the problem with so many of us. We're holding on to the old. If I could have, should have, would have. No, God's saying, I got something new for you over here. Each day, I'm going to build you. You're going to have to trust the process. Proverbs 3:5-6 talks about it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He already has it directed out for you. All you have to do is trust and believe. You need to go back to the book of John and believe the miracles of Jesus Christ, turning water into wine and feeding the 5,000, raising Lazarus from the dead. The miracles he was doing back then, he's still doing them today. All you got to get to the place is trusting and believing and walking it out. It's not an overnight miracle. You got to walk it out. He's got to be sure that you're equipped to be able to handle everything that he's going to put in front of you. Because if you're not able to handle this, you're going to get defeated. And that's the problem with so many Christians, why they're not having victory. Christians are struggling because they don't know the word of God. They don't know scriptures. They don't live by scriptures. They live by fear. They don't live by faith. Understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's so much they don't know about that God will reveal to you later if you stay the course and stay with him. Stay on his plan. Don't stay on your plan. Too many of us get in the midst of our own plan, Susie, and we want it to be what we want instead of what God wants. And I finally surrendered myself. I said, God, have your way. Do whatever you want to do in me. And Tracy, let your ministry go forward. Let us just be a vessel. Let us speak life that will bring about a change to the abundance of people.
Amen. So as he's talking, I'm just thinking of that somebody listening. I'm convinced that there's at least one, if not many, that you know you've settled. You know God's been saying, can I have that? Can I have that? And he's sending you to a land you don't know. Will you trust him? You know, walk in the fear of God. So let him correct and direct. Get into his word. Immerse yourself. And then obey. I remember, you know, there's an anointing, for lack of a better phrase, that comes from obedience. When we obey, there's a power in our life. When we're obeying the word of God and trusting him above ourselves. And Daryl, years ago, I read an essay from A.W. Tozer, he was just sort of scratching his head going, if the same promises are available to all of us as God's people, why do some rise above the fray and go on and do great things for God where others don't? And so he decided to do kind of a study, an inventory of people in our history. And, you know, he said the differences were as stark as you can imagine. One was black, one was white, one was rich, one was poor, one was educated, one wasn't. But the one common denominator he found was they all did exactly as you're saying. They walked intimately with God. They were immersed in his word, and they developed what he called a spiritual receptivity. So they had an ear bent towards heaven. So when God spoke, they did something about it. You know, I think we complicate it so much, but as we live sold out like that, he will get us where we need to go, won't he?
No question about it. We complicate everything because we think we're doing it on our own natural self, and you have to rely on the Spirit of God to dwell among you so you can be able to walk towards the things that God has for you. When you stop thinking with your own thought process and you allow the Spirit man to think for you, he's going to show you the way. All you got to do is listen. I think that's the problem with so many of us. We don't listen. We walk in this fear place, you know, of who I am. I can't. No, you can't, but he can. Greater than he that's in me than he that's in the world. It's the great one that rules and reign over you. If you allow him to rule and reign, he's going to do it for you. All you got to do is invite him in and say, do it. Just do it, and he will do it. And all you got to do is be able to participate in the fact of the part that he's going to do for you. And what's your participation part is that I need to study the book, the Bible. It's been here forever. I don't know what took me so long. I saw my mother reading that book, and I used to think, why was she so happy? Because she had great joy, because she had peace with God. And that's where it's all at. That's where you're going to find the revelation of your life. It's through the word. If I could just continue to drill that into people, that's where it's at. That's where I found life. I found an abundant life in the word of God. I didn't find it in the stuff that I had. I didn't find it in the trophies. I didn't find it being famous. I found it in the Bible.
Well, Daryl, you're amazing. I so appreciate you, and I want you to come back. I want to read one more line from your book as we get ready to wrap. Your willingness to trust God and obey God speaks volumes about what you truly believe about him. And friend, as I'm listening to Daryl, like my heart is beating in my chest. I feel this so strongly that there are a number of you that God wants you to step into that place of power, of calling. You just got to trust him, and you got to lay down your idols or whatever stuff he's been talking to you about. Respond to him today and say, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all yours. Lead and I will follow. And Daryl, please come back. We just love you. I loved this conversation. I feel like we just scratched the surface. So please come back again. Thanks for joining us today. That was Daryl Strawberry, friends, and his book, Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. I hope you are as just empowered as I am. We'll leave that drawing open for a little bit. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. It's such an honor to do this journey with you, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.